Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Well, it's sectional week and we're live here on the Hoosier Report. We do this each week, each day, I should say, weekday at 11 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio. And a special time, high school basketball is the main stuff right now as we'll get the sectionals kicked off on Tuesday night. Always a fun time of year, and I think everybody in multiple fans of different teams really excited about the potential for some great matchups on Friday night here in the area. Seymour could be just a great environment for some Friday semifinals. Silver Creek and Brownstown, if that works out, as we think it will, at Charlestown on Friday night. So just a number of good games. It's always fun. You got Tuesday night games to get your appetite started, I guess you could say, and come back Friday with the semifinals and Saturday with the championship game. So a lot of excitement about that. And again, I say this every time I bring up the tournament, it is just really hard to believe that it is late February and that we are heading into March and March Madness and college basketball tournaments, and that the high school tournaments are now underway or getting ready to be underway here in about a day and a half or so. But exciting times, no question about it. This is the time of year for basketball fans at any level, really, where the game is games mean the most. And the next month and a half or so, from this point forward, will be a lot of fun. And, of course, I hope that you'll join us for coverage, fallout, reaction, interviews, whatever you want to call it, regarding some of the big moments coming up, not just with IU basketball, but with the high school state tournament as well, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we'll open with our Hoosier headlines here in a few moments, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at the IU-Iowa game, another tough loss. Indiana played hard. It's hard, really, to fault the team. Like in some of the other games, it's been pretty easy to do some of the other losses this year. But Indiana played really hard. Indiana, I thought, was going to win that game. They bumped their lead. I believe it was to 6 very, very late in the game. Some heroic, once again, three-point shooting from Iowa. Not only gets them back in the game, but ties the game, sends it to overtime, and then they go on to win, obviously. But unbelievable performance, once again, by Iowa. Even though Indiana, you've got to take credit where it's due. They're playing hard, and that is was a concern. We hope it's not a concern anymore moving forward, but even if the team is going to lose games against teams that probably are better than them, if they're playing hard, it's easier to watch. It's easier to follow, even in losses. And I know there have been a lot of games where I feel like had they played with the same intensity that they played against Iowa, even if they missed some shots or missed some defensive assignments or whatever the case was, they would have a number of more wins, a couple more wins at the least. There have been games where they just come out with no effort, and that has really hindered their ability to pick up some games, even against the lower-level teams in the Big Ten Conference here in the second half of this season. But we'll talk a little IU-Iowa in our headlines. We'll also talk a little bit about the upcoming sectional pairings as well. A couple other notes we'll cover today. Archie Miller and his staff taking a look at a prospect, another name in 2019 we'll tell you about here in just a few moments as well. And a local player, a couple local players actually, part of the Hanover College team that won their third straight conference championship yesterday afternoon. Now they will await later today to find out their assignment in the NCAA Division III National Tournament. This is a kind of a neat thing that we probably overlook some this time of year, in addition to the college stuff and the IU stuff and, of course, high school sports as well, basketball specifically. We overlook a lot of locals that are out playing other places, boys and girls, that are qualifying for their national tournament, whether it be Division II, Division III, NAIA, whatever it may be. So you got all that going on concurrently with everything else now as well. But we'll tell you about a couple of locals that are having success at Hanover here in just a minute as well. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the IU insider for the Star, and he joins us each Monday. We'll give a full review to IU Iowa. We'll talk about the team's improved effort now over the last two games, and we'll look ahead because Indiana gets right back to it as they get ready to wrap up conference play here over the very, what is it, week and a half or 2 weeks? I mean, we're down to the final stretch, I feel like it's safe to say, of Big Ten conference play. But they play Wisconsin coming up this week. That obviously, it's at home. It will be a challenge for Indiana in its own regard. But you know what? I like their chances if they come out with the same energy level, the same confidence, the same attack that they had in the game against Iowa, and even the Purdue game as well. I like Indiana's chances. I think they've been very close these last few games to picking up a couple wins. I think they're going to get it if they continue to play how they've played. And even with that energy level, that's the main thing. Just like they care that the Indiana across their chest means something. I think this team will win out, win with a pick up. Let me say, I don't want to say win out. I think this team will win a few more games in the regular season. If not, surprise us a little bit. I really believe that. And then you get to the Big Ten tournament, and who knows what can happen with that. A lot of it depends on who Indiana plays and where they finish in the regular season standings as far as their seed for that tournament. But we'll take a look at all of that with Zach later in the program. Chad Gilbert is with us. Chad's the Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSA Executive Board member. He will join us today to talk about some of the high school pairings for the upcoming week. Sectionals just around the corner. He's hosting one at Charlestown in Class 3A, but we'll take a look at some of the matchups to watch this week starting Tuesday night. Although, as I said at the top of the show, a lot of the better matchups, if things go right Tuesday, could really happen Friday in the area. And then, of course, the championship games on Saturday are always good. Championship on the line, those are going to be big games no matter what the matchups is. But just how the brackets were drawn out this year, Friday night could be a really, really good night. I wish I could create three or four of me so I could see a lot of different games instead of just being at one place. But we'll talk about those big ones with Chad coming up later in the program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. How about this? If the Big Ten Conference ended today, if the regular season was over with today, over with Sunday night when we all went to bed, Indiana would, obviously all the teams make the Big Ten tournament, Indiana would be a 12 seed, and they would have one of two first-round games that are played on March 13th at the United Center in Chicago. Here's what it would look like right now. Indiana would play Penn State, who would be a 13 seed. Indiana would be a 12. The winner of that Indiana-Penn State game would move on to the second round on March 14th and take on Wisconsin, who currently right now would be fifth seeded. Obviously, Indiana plays Wisconsin this week in Big Ten action. A win over the Badgers would shift the standings around, I'm sure, considerably. And, of course, if Indiana can pick up some more wins and no telling, maybe losses, depending on how things go the rest of the way, that seed could definitely still improve from a 12 seed. You want to get out of that 11, 12, 13, or 14 seed because if you're a 10 or higher, you get that opportunity to not play in the first round on March 13th and jump straight to, I guess it would be quarterfinals would be the next round. I guess it would be a second round game is truly what it would be called, on and skip a day basically and you know not have to play. So for Indiana, somebody could argue that heck, you almost would rather go ahead and play maybe to get another win, which could help their NCAA resume and maybe to keep, if there is some momentum with this team going when we get to that point, to see that. Some, just like in high school, some coaches don't want to draw the bye. Others like to play and not take that night off. But I'm sure Coach Miller in Indiana, with injuries and everything else that's went on, would appreciate the opportunity to get that 10 seed or perhaps higher and not have to play on March 14th. But that's the bracket as it is now. If you're curious, Michigan State, the 1, Purdue, the 2, Michigan the 3, and Maryland the 4 if the Big Ten tournament was seeded today. And, of course, you get one of those top 4 seeds. You don't play in the first round or the second round. You jump straight to the quarterfinal round on March 15th, which is a huge advantage in that conference tournament bracket. So that is just coming ahead, and we'll be keeping an eye on, I'm sure, from this point forward with each win or each loss from Indiana, what their seed looks like in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Indiana falls on Friday night at Iowa. Fifth straight game in a row that the Hoosiers have lost. The score 76-70 in overtime at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Indiana once 12-2. How about that? This team was once 12-2 on the season, is now 13 wins, 14 losses, under 500 mark for the first time this season. Obviously, for Indiana, leading the way in the, well, I had the box score up, leading the way in the charge. A lot of great play from Romeo Langford in that game. Some late big baskets, I thought, too, from Robert Finnessy as well. But it was really some late big shots, deep shots for Iowa that helped them come back, really, because Indiana had extended its lead late to 6 points. And I tell you what, it looked like for a moment they were on their way to a victory, a big road win at Iowa. Obviously, it didn't turn out that way, thanks to some great shooting by Jordan Bohannon. 14 of his 17 points. This is amazing. He scored 14 of his 17 points in the final 2 minutes and 17 seconds of regulation, and then went on to score more in the overtime as well. That's unbelievable. He had a three-pointer with 28 seconds left in regulation that tied the game, and then he had 3 three-pointers in the overtime period to help Iowa on to the victory. And really, and Archie Miller said this in the postgame conference as well, and if you go back and look at it, Indiana's defense on him was pretty good. They had a hand right in his face. It wasn't like he got an open look. It wasn't like the guy was spaced over some. He just hit some really big shots. And if you remember back to the Iowa-Indiana game at Assembly Hall, he didn't have that kind of shooting performance late, but he hit some big threes, including one he just threw up from deep late in that home game for IU at Assembly Hall. So he's been really an IU killer this year. And Indiana, right as they looked like they were building some momentum in that game, and again, were maybe on their way to a road win, Jordan Bohannon kind of squashes that. Also, I think worth noting from the game is graduate senior Evan Fitzner, who we didn't see in the Purdue game at all, and his minutes have obviously been diminished a lot here in some of the games this season. He scored 11 points coming off the bench for 14 minutes. Also, redshirt freshman Race Thompson, he had 4 rebounds, went scoreless, but did play 11 minutes as well. So some interesting guys coming off the bench for this Indiana team. Indiana struggles to shoot the three-pointer. Those struggles continue. They were hit 6 of 27 attempts. 6 of 27 attempts. Through 16 Big Ten games, Indiana is shooting the three ball at a percentage of 26.3%. And there's a possibility, I saw some tweets on this, the KenPom computer stats that are out there that a lot of people use and look at, and they are pretty neat to follow. They've been going on since, I think, maybe 2001, something like that. But this Indiana team is on track right now to be the worst recorded three-point shooting team in college basketball. So when you talk about not a good shooting team, struggle to shoot the long ball, I mean, this isn't just a fact that's being thrown out there, at least back to when the KenPom stats started. And again, I believe it was like the 2001-2 season or the 2000-2001 season, somewhere within there, within a year. Indiana right now is on track to be the worst three-point shooting team that's been recorded in college basketball. Now, that can change. There's still a number of games left, but I think that's a great summary on how bad the shooting is for this team, especially from deep. IU recruiting, the big word is waiting on Keon Brooks. What's going to happen with him? When's he going to make his decision? It sure sounds like he is headed down his home stretch before he makes a final decision. But IU taking a look at a player from IMG Academy over the weekend. His name is Lester Quinones. He's 6'6". He's a 215-pound shooting guard. Again, IMG is a high school preparatory-type program that's located in Florida. He's got a Final Seven list, and Indiana's on that list. It includes Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, LSU, who's playing great basketball, by the way, Georgia with Coach Crean there, Memphis, and Ohio State. So some Big Ten flavor in his Final Seven. And interestingly enough, One of the games that the Indiana coaches saw over the weekend with IMG and with Lester Quinones in the game was against Sean East of New Albany and his combine prep team. And I don't have Sean's line score in front of me, but I know he played very, very well in front of a number of Division I coaches lately. Of course, he's taking a fifth year of prep school before making a college decision. So big stuff for Sean East. And again, that brings up a point. Anytime Sean has a big performance, especially, I know he had one earlier this year against Hargrave Military, which is one of the great, very competitive, you know, prep schools out there that plays in a national schedule. They've been around a lot more than Sean's combine prep team has, so they're well known, a lot like IMG. But anytime Sean puts up big numbers against a national type prep opponent like that, I always get a lot of tweets and questions in the community about, you know, why didn't Sean just go to Indiana, or why does Indiana not recruit Sean? If anybody can get the ball to Romeo and set him up in the offense, we know Sean East did it. He did it for, what, three seasons, two and a half seasons as a starter for New Albany with Romeo in the lineup. So who knows where Sean will go? I know he's got a number of mid to low major Division I programs that have been pretty interested in him, especially in his since his time at combine prep. You never know, though, when you have a big game against a big school like IMG in Indiana or other high major Division I teams may be there to recruit other players. They may be there to look at this five-star, four-star type Lester Quinones player, and all of a sudden they see Sean East or someone else. There's been a lot of breaks given that way, a lot of scholarships offered that way to players who maybe aren't necessarily considered to be that level of a player. But those that have seen Sean, miss Sean, remember Sean, and I think with Sean was at Indiana with Romeo to help facilitate getting him the basketball. There obviously was a great connection between those two dating way back, I think even into the later elementary days when they played some AAU and other basketball together. But Sean doing well for his combine prep academy team, led the team in scoring. I think he led the team in assists as well against IMG, Indiana, Syracuse, other big coaches sitting at that game, as I mentioned. That's a look at the headlines. Oh, one final thing, Isaac Hibbard of New Albany. Christian Reed is also at Hanover from Silver Creek. They are headed to the Division III National Tournament. For the third straight year, Hanover claimed the Heartland Collegiate Athletic Conference postseason tournament, which was actually played at Hanover this afternoon. They'll find out their destination, where they'll go, who they'll play in the NCAA Division III tournament. Hibbard had 13 points, a big part of that conference championship game win for Hanover. And Kenzie Winstead, who's riding with the Big X and Hoosier Hills Hoops, did a nice story on Isaac and the Hanover team. You can read more about their appearance in the conference championship game, their win, I should say, in the conference championship game. His story is available at HoosierHillsHoops.com or at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Don't forget, Hoopster's a great place to watch IU games. You should check it out for the Tuesday game against Wisconsin. Hoopster's your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopster's was voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopster's in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. IU basketball, the subject, with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Monday program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. My guest, Zach, is the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star and with us on Mondays. And I tell you what, Zach, I applaud the IU team's effort. Once again, much like the Purdue game, they came out in Iowa City ready to play, and I thought ready to get a victory the way things unfolded late in the game. That was until Jordan Bohannon had other thoughts and hits just a barrage of late three-pointers, almost impossible to see how he made all of those and helps force overtime. And then, of course, had a huge overtime performance as well, and Iowa would go on to win 76-70. But if you're following this Indiana team and you grasp the struggles that this team has had, sometimes with the most basic things, just putting energy and effort out there, you've got to applaud their effort on Friday from that perspective, I believe.
Yeah, I think there is, it's fair to say, a marked difference between January Indiana at this point and February Indiana. And I think everybody kind of saw that Minnesota game as a little bit of an alarm, and I understand why. I mean, I think certainly, you know, even just from kind of a beat writer's perspective, I watched that and just thought, whoa, you know, where's this team going? But if you actually look at the last six games they played, starting with the win at Michigan State on February 2nd, that's very much the outlier. You know, they win at Michigan State. They're tough against Iowa, against Ohio State, against Purdue, against Iowa again. Of course, the unifying theme is they still lose all of those games. And I think now we can really more just kind of talk about tangible issues with Indiana. The big ones coming at the offensive end of the floor. You talk about that Iowa game. Once again, Indiana just could not hit anything from outside the – from beyond the three-point line, 6 of 27, 12 of 22 – from the free throw line, which was clearly on Arch Miller's mind post game. He said that Indiana's got to be a team that makes its own breaks a little bit better. But I still just keep coming back to the 3-point numbers. If you watch in real time and then watch back, this offense is creating some decent looking threes. It's getting guys open in corners. It's getting guys open on kickouts. I thought Indiana was really, really good moving against the Iowa zone on Friday night. Iowa, not the best defensive team, but their zone has thrown some people off this year. Indiana was really smart and really crisp in their offense, just not just moving the ball, but moving bodies around, working skip passes, working angles, things like that. Their good threes are just not falling. And that's a point where maybe you can look at Archie Miller and say, listen, you know, this roster was not all of your construction, and you are still dealing with young guys and guys who should get better as they progress and get older. And at IU, that's fine. But, you know, this stretch should also be a reminder that, you know, Archie Miller's got to make absolutely sure in the future he does not leave himself without 3-point shooting talent. Because you talk about the Bohannon threes on Friday, there was that wacky Ryan Klein three. There were the Bohannon threes when Iowa beat Indiana in Bloomington. There was the wild sort of C.J. Jackson prayer that goes in against Ohio State. But the unifying theme there is that those are all players who generally are very, very good three-point shooters. And so, yes, they made low-percentage shots. But you would expect that they would be the guys you would expect to make those low-percentage shots, if that makes any sense. And Indiana just doesn't have enough to match teams that can shoot the three ball even reasonably well right now, and that's something that may not change this year, but it's got to change going forward.
Zach, when we talk about IU and three-point struggles or shooting struggles, I saw this a couple times on Twitter and read about it after the game on Friday, but Indiana in the KenPom is on a potential to be one of the worst, if not the worst, college basketball three-point shooting teams in history. Now, that's skewed a little bit because I think KenPom only goes back to like 2001 maybe was when it started, but that's still a number of years, a lot of data to consider. And so when you talk about, you know, Archie Miller finding himself with a lack of three-point shooting in an area you want to avoid as he recruits a full team into IU over the next few seasons, I mean, we're not just talking about bad shooting at times. We're talking about historically low and the potential to be the lowest since the KenPom stuff has been tracked.
Well, and I think it's fair, too, to – I mean, obviously you want to ask why. I think, you know, there's not a coach out there that can't be sort of self-evaluative, if that's a term. I don't know if evaluative is a word. It's probably not. But let's just go with it. You know, you don't get better in that business without being able to sort of examine your successes and your failures and figure out what needs to change moving forward. You know, I think back to Tom Crean, who was very, very good at teaching shooting. You know, you looked at Yogi Ferrell's improvement as a three-point shooter, Victor Oladipo's improvement as a three-point shooter. I mean, we can go up and down the line. You know, Tom Crean took guys that in theory should have been good three-point shooters, but then he made them into those in college, and that doesn't always translate that way. You know, if I'm Archie Miller, I'm looking at it saying, what do we need to do to make sure that this is that this isn't such a problem moving forward? Because Indiana last season shot 32.2% from behind the three-point line as a team. That was – it was outside the top 300 nationally. More than that, it was a program record low for a single season behind the arc. And that's back to, what was it, 1986 when the rule was first implemented. Right now, Indiana's shooting 30.8%. So basically, Indiana is on pace to break the record that it set last year for worst single-season team three-point shooting percentage in program history. I think there's guys on this team, anecdotally, that are good three-point shooters. Al Durham's numbers are good. Devontae Green's numbers have kind of slacked off here a little bit, but have been good through parts of this season. I think Robert Phinisee was tracking toward being a useful three-point shooter, but just hasn't looked the same, really, in a lot of different ways since coming back from that concussion, not just shooting the ball. And then there's also guys like Evan Fitzner, who, you know, Indiana probably would have hoped they could count on to be a little bit more consistent behind the arc, and just hasn't worked out that way. Or even Romeo Langford, who's, you know, I think that the sort of consensus is, especially among like NBA folks, is listen, the mechanics are there. His shot's going to be fine. He just needs to work on it a little bit more, but that's probably not going to happen, obviously, between now and the end of this season. So if he goes pro after this year, then he's kind of not part of the long-term solution either. My point is, if I'm Archie Miller, I look at everything that's happened this season and I say that, you know, for all of the concerns that you can have about the direction of the program, about some of these losses, about losing 12 of 13, and all that stuff, shooting can cure a lot of problems. And it's not even one of those where I think sometimes when you say that, people say, oh, you're just, you know, if shooting threes is just a remedy that won't work against, you know, won't stop your flaws from consuming you eventually. Well, number one, only one team wins a national title every year. So at some point, everybody gets consumed by their flaws a little bit. But number two, and I think in a lot of ways more importantly, from Indiana's perspective, imagine where this team would be if it could just hit 34 or 35% of its threes. You know, if it could do that with the way that it has defended for a lot of the season, we'd probably be talking about a team that right now was 5-1 in February, and therefore what, 17-10, and still perfectly square, you know, squarely within the NCAA tournament conversation. And you know, we'd probably be lamenting some of this team's injury problems and youth and depth and all that. But Indiana would be okay. And my point is, in modern basketball, 3-point shooting is an imperative. It's not a luxury statistic that you can use to cover up other weaknesses. It is a big part of what basketball success is based on in 2019. And Indiana's just got to make sure that it's not this big of a problem in the future.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, you can follow Zach at Zach Osterman on Twitter. And, of course, read his work at IndyStar.com/sports. Generally, about this IU team, with the effort that they've shown at Iowa and the game against Purdue before Iowa at home, if they had played like that every time out, or most times out, or near that level of intensity most times out since January, don't you agree this team, they may not have won a ton more games than where they're at right now, but I think they would sure find themselves in a different place. And that's just based off of energy and effort in general.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think what's probably fair to say is that what happened to this team in January was a lot more intangible. And what I mean by that is, you know, Archie Miller's even said, he was asked actually after the Purdue game, where do you think, he used the term disposition, and a reporter in the press room asked, well, you know, where do you think you lost that disposition? Because this was a team that we've talked about many times that was winning close games in November and December, that was, you know, that beat Marquette, that beat Louisville, that beat Butler. And Archie pointed straight to the Nebraska loss and just the way that loss happens. Indiana loses by 15. They were down, I think, like 16, 18 points in the first half. They only scored 7 points in like the first 10 minutes of the game or something like that. They only averaged 0.8 points per possession on the evening. They shot 2 of 18 from behind the three-point line, 11 of 19 from the free-throw line. They were out-rebounded pretty badly by a Nebraska team that at the time still looks pretty good, but obviously since the wheels have basically come off in Lincoln, and we know that maybe that team wasn't quite as good as we thought they were that night. And then what follows that is a string largely of losses all the way up through Michigan. I think you could even see maybe some sort of shoots of recovery at Rutgers, but all the way through Michigan, it felt more like a team that just something kind of mentally wasn't there. You know, something, like I said, intangibly wasn't there. And that it's also worth pointing out that's kind of the depth of Indiana's injury problems. Deron Davis is out. Rob Phinisee is out for part of that, comes back, but again, doesn't really quite look the same as he did, you know, pre-Christmas, pre-concussion. Al Durham is playing banged up. Zach McRoberts is in and out of the lineup with foot and back issues. Devontae Green is suspended for three of those games. And my point is, that's maybe where you just felt like Indiana kind of lost control of its ability to just sort of believe in itself and rely on itself. Coupled with a lot of depth issues, a lot of weird lineup issues, and a tough schedule. You know, that's when Indiana plays 6 of 8 on the road, plays Michigan twice, goes to Purdue, goes to Maryland. What we've seen since the turn of February, when Devontae Green's been back, Deron Davis has been back, Rob Phinisee got his sea legs under him a little bit more. Royce Thompson is starting to come back, is a team that's a lot more competitive. Again, as we said, now you feel like Indiana's losing because of more tangible weaknesses. Again, missing free throws. If Rob Phinisee hits that second free throw against Iowa, then Jordan Bohannon's three doesn't tie it. Iowa may not even take a three. Who knows? Who knows how the rest of that game plays out? I know that the Ryan Klein three-pointer at home against Purdue that kind of hits the front of the rim and takes the strangest of bounces and goes in is a little bit, frankly, just a little bit fluky, but Indiana's 11 of 18 from the free throw line in that game, and I think misses a couple of big ones, like last 3 or 4 minutes, where, again, that three isn't as impactful if a couple more of those go down. And so then you're just sort of saying, okay, these are physical, tangible concerns that can be more easily, or at least sort of, I don't want to say more easily addressed, but addressed in a more straightforward way going forward, where Archie Miller can say to his guys, here are concrete examples of why we need to be a better three-point shooting team, concrete examples of why we need to be a better free-throw shooting team. It's been really on the more sort of tangible, statistical side of things that Indiana has lost some of these games in February, and why, to something you said kind of at the top of the show, it's felt like Indiana was a lot closer to picking up some wins in February than in January, when, frankly, it just this whole kind of enterprise, just even watching from an objective point of view, felt a little bit hopeless.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, I do want to turn the page and talk a little Wisconsin before we let you go today. Coming into this game for Indiana, I mean, every game, if they have any outside hope of putting a run together here to close the season, and I think now it would even take some success in the Big Ten tournament as well. From that perspective, each game is big. But I think to salvage as much as you possibly can this season, there's still an opportunity, postseason or not, NCAA tournament or not, to show that this team does have some heart and some effort. They do have some pride in the Indiana that's listed across their chest on their jersey. And playing at home, much like they did Purdue, that same type of effort against Wisconsin surely will put them in a place for a win, potentially, or at least a competitive finish in the game. And at some point, even competitive finishes aren't what you're looking for here. But given where this team has been over the last month, month and a half, with losing streaks and no energy, no effort, almost seeming like they don't care at times, shooting the ball badly, so many problems, injuries as well that they've had to deal with, you'll take what you can take. But a number of wins, a couple wins, I don't know what the right terminology is or what the right number is, but to win some games here to close out the regular season and then maybe get a couple in Big Ten tournament, it sure could put a better stamp on at least the ending of this season that shows this team was able to recover.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what's kind of worth remembering is, unlike last season when, you know, if you tally up just all of the roster sort of churn, something Archie Miller has broadly speaking, sort of worked against since he got to Indiana. But he takes over and he loses three guys to the NBA that I think we all kind of thought there was a decent chance Thomas Bryant, OG Anunoby, and even James Blackman Jr. were going to leave after the 2016-17 season, that it was just kind of in their minds it was time. He knows he's going to graduate five seniors after that first season, and then he also has two transfers. And it's fair to point out Grant Gahlon more or less came out and said that he didn't necessarily want to transfer, but he did. One way or the other, that's 10 players, you know, out of the program within Archie Miller's first 12 months on the job. It feels like that's going to slow down a little bit here. And obviously Indiana's going to lose, you know, three seniors. One of them's not on scholarship, but Evan Fitzner, Zach McRoberts, and Juwan Morgan. There's clearly a you know, at least a decent chance Romeo Langford, if not a very good chance, let's say, that Romeo Langford is only going to be in college for 1 year. So there's going to be more turnover. But as we've talked a lot about this team being young this season, nine scholarship freshmen and sophomores, you know, freshmen and sophomores starting, freshmen and sophomores playing big minutes off the bench. And this team is still going to be kind of young next year in that you're right now only projected to have two seniors. And you can take a grad transfer and who knows, but it's still going to be a team that's relying a lot on the freshman, sophomore, and junior classes next year. And as much as Indiana fans, understandably, are kind of, you know, wringing their hands at next season and saying, okay, no Romeo Langford, no Juwan Morgan. Oh, geez, how's this team going to, I mean, this team is already struggling. What's going to happen when you take away that much, you know, that much of their point production? It's also worth pointing out guys like Rob Phinisee and Al Durham and, you know, Race Thompson and Jake Forrester and whoever else, you know, Justin Smith, whoever else, these are the guys that still kind of need to learn how to win and need to learn, need to get that feeling that basically when you go through a good week of practice and you execute the way your coach tells you to, hey, not everything will go absolutely according to plan, but you'll get a win, you know, somewhere. You'll be rewarded for it. I think Indiana was obviously rewarded for it at Michigan State. It's also worth pointing out that's the night that Indiana shoots 10 of 20 from behind the three-point line. I don't think there's a huge coincidence there. But there are guys on this roster that if Archie Miller is going to get this thing kind of turned around in the long-term way and pointed towards something more consistently successful, you know, he's not looking at this locker room and saying there's nobody here that can help me and I'm only worried about what's coming in, what I'm going to get next, that sort of thing. He knows that Al Durham and Rob Phinisee and, you know, those guys I just mentioned, Justin Smith, et cetera, are guys that as they get older, he's going to have to count on them more and more. And you're going to want them, if you're Archie Miller, to have winning experience and just to sort of understand what it feels like to recover from a bad stretch, to recover from a slump, to play through, you know, shooting struggles or whatever it is, and get yourself to a place where you can just you can develop a little bit of a winning habit. I think that's something that Indiana's really lost. Again, speaking in intangibles, over the last, you know, two and a half seasons now, going back even to the end of Tom Crean's tenure, and Archie Miller's got to rebuild some of that. And it certainly seems, again, unlike the sort of the stretch in January, it certainly seems like he's got a team now that is willing to scrap and fight in the way that you need to, even if you do have some weaknesses, even if there are shortcomings holding you back. Wisconsin and Michigan State both are the kinds of games that feel like, you know, sort of justifiable rewards if you're Indiana and you can get it turned around all the way. But at the same time, Archie Miller, of all people, is going to know that you're only really going to get, it's not even talking about moral victories, it's just you're only really going to get so much agency out of being able to look at your team and say, listen, guys, you did everything we asked you to do. You played tough and hard. And boy, we just got sunk by some bad luck shots there at the end. But if that keeps happening and happening and happening, you know, how much are you really gaining from it? I think from Indiana's perspective, it would be really valuable to get just a couple of wins under the belt for guys to be able to feel good about themselves again and to be able to take, even if they don't go to the NCAA tournament or even the NIT, take into the off season and say, you know, remember how we recovered. As bad as things were, we were able to come back and beat this team. and this team and this team, and we still were able to kind of give a good accounting of ourselves, and there's something to build from.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays on the program with the very latest on IU basketball. Zach, thanks for the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back in our final segment with Chad Gilbert. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown High School, also an IHSA executive board member. We'll put the spotlight on Southern Indiana topics, including the big sectional week. And we are finally here. The week of the state tournament begins. Great sectional games Tuesday. Even some on Wednesday here locally, with 7-team sectionals playing a game Tuesday and a couple games on Wednesday. Of course, Friday night semifinals. Big championship games will play out Saturday night. Then we're off to the regional round of the tournament following that. We'll talk about some of the local sectionals and some of the big performances, top performers of the 2018-19 high school basketball season, and get you all set for the sectional tournament after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert is with me. Chad, is there a better time of year than the start of sectional play, the start of the state tournament? Lots of big matchups. You don't know exactly how the week's going to go, but you know when we get to Friday or Saturday, we're in for some really good games if things play out the way that we hope.
Matt, it's funny you say that. That's what I have in my notes for my segue today. Sectional time, it does not get any better than this time of year, Matt. You think about just the time of the year in general. The Kentucky State Tournament is underway. The girls' state tournament in basketball just wrapped up Saturday. And, you know, what a great 2 months for basketball fans coming up here. You know, you've got sectional week followed by regional week, college conference tournaments with semi-state week, March Madness online with the state finals, Division II Elite Eight in Evansville, the start of spring sports, spring break, the Masters, the coaching carousel, and the Kentucky Derby. You know, we were rolling right into May, Matt, a great time of the year.
Yeah, no question about it. What going back, and I guess you've got opportunities both as a player, as a coach, boys and girls, to kind of relive some of your tournament memories, and you had some good runs with both of those teams. What changes with practices? What changes with maybe just your general feeling about things, whether it's as a player or as a coach this time of year?
Well, you know, when you walk in that gym, the gym always seems cleaner. The horn sounds a little bit different to you. The popcorn tastes better, smells better. But the goals are still 10 foot. Court's 84 foot long. So, you know, all that stuff you keep in perspective. But this time of year, you're tapering your stuff down. You're fine-tuning. You've been going now for 9 months getting ready for this point of year. So, you know, you're keeping your guys fresh, and you're wanting to have fun. That's the bottom line. You're wanting to create memories that you and your team will have for the rest of their life.
Chad Gilbert is my guest. We're talking about the sectional pairings, the sectional tournament, I should say, that begins this week. Now, you now are in the business of hosting postseason stuff. We talked earlier about your girls' opportunities to host the regional round at Charlestown and your beautiful arena, and now you'll get an opportunity to host a 7-team sectional, which means you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday action at Charlestown High School. You mentioned some things in your description of this week that only an AD would mention, as far as the gym being a little bit cleaner and things like that. You do take, if you're the host, especially when your school's playing, and I know even if they're not, like a regional round and that sort of thing, you still want it to come across in very good representation of Charlestown and really of Southern Indiana as a whole. But you find yourself maybe looking at some of the more minor details that you might overlook for a home game and the busyness of everything, but you want to get those right for the postseason, because in Indiana it means something.
No, you know, you want to have the best place out there to host a regional. You want your players and your coaches to just be able to coach their team and not have any distractions, and you want your fans to have a great experience. We're hosting a 7-team here, which is kind of unique. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. This will be our 15th game that we've had IHS event this winter. So we're busy, but we've got things under control. This isn't our first rodeo, so we'll run through it. It'll be a lot of fun. We look for big crowds every night.
Let's go through a couple of the local sectionals. We'll start first with 4A. Jeff and Seymour play on Tuesday, followed by Jennings County and Floyd Central. Both Jeff and Floyd would be heavy, heavy favorites in those two opening round games on Tuesday night. That could set up potentially a great Friday night semifinal night of Bedford against Jeff, which is a rematch. Bedford did beat Jeffersonville in the regular season, and of course a great rematch between rivals New Albany and Floyd Central as well. Kobe Varnes, kind of the highlight individual player of that sectional, that has had a tremendous season, an Indiana All-Star candidate. He's really closed the season, the regular season at least, very strong as well, with a couple big back-to-back 36-point outpourings. He really leads the way, and the storyline, I think, at Seymour is, can Floyd Central, who unbelievably has not won a sectional in 30 years, can they finally come out on top in Seymour?
You know, what can you say about this schedule? You've got the biggest gym, the best PA guy in the state. That guy will get you riled up, ready to play. They play the best music, and Seymour does an outstanding job hosting. But like you said, there's great matchups. You talk about the Friday Jeff Bedford game. You can put the revenge factor and everything else out the door on that one. Jeffersonville, you know, as the tournament goes on, talent prevails, and Jeffersonville has the most talent in the sectional. And I think they're going to come out, and they'll win that game going away against Bedford. Saturday night, or excuse me, the other matchup with Floyd and New Albany. You know, New Albany is playing great coming into the sectional. And I think the one thing that I don't like for New Albany and I don't like for Bedford is they've got the byes. And my problem with the byes is those guys have already got one game under their belt. Where New Albany and Bedford, it takes a little bit to get the willies out a little bit. You've got to kind of coach that up before you hit the court. And I think, you know, if you can get behind early, it's just a game of catch-up from that point on. And I think that's where Floyd and Jefferson, if they can win on Tuesday night, they will have that advantage going in. But, you know, like you said, it's an opportunity for Kobe Barnes to leave his stamp as a legitimate Indiana All-Star, someone who should be an Indiana All-Star, but someone who has not won a sectional. Now, if you don't think that's not in his mind, he's going to come out and he's going to be ready to play. Todd Sturgeon, he's going to sell his guys on ready to play. You talked about it's been a drought for Floyd Central. They won't talk about that. They're going to talk about how this team wants to be remembered. And they're going to go out there and they're going to leave their very best on the floor. And that's all you can expect at this point in this season. And you're going to see some great matchups, some great individual performances, as well as some great team performances. That section is going to play out to be one of the better sectionals in a long time. And it's going to be good because it's the first sectional without Romeo. But I would expect the same type of crowds with the matchups that we're looking for.
I sure hope you're right crowd-wise. I mean, if the pairings work out as we think, Friday could be just a tremendous night of games. What you hope is that whether you've got the early game or late game, you either get there early. I know the early game can be tough with work and a 45-plus minute drive to Seymour depending on where you're coming from, but two great games. And if everybody sticks around, meaning gets there early, if they're there for the second game or stays late after the first game, that'll really help that thing with a great environment for both of those semifinals. And then, of course, no matter what happens on Friday, I think I agree with you. I think Jeffersonville will have no problems with Bedford, and I think you'll be looking at either a Jeff New Albany or a Jeff Floyd Central championship game on Saturday night. No matter what happens there, I think we're in for good games Friday and a great championship game as well. Looking at your sectional, obviously a big potential matchup is Brownstown against Silver Creek, but that game will not take place until Friday. For that to happen, Chad, Brownstown has to get past the homestanding Pirates of yours to get that much-anticipated rematch that everybody hopes for. That, again, would be a Friday night game if it happens.
It's always an advantage to play on your home court in a tournament. And it's not because the officials are there or anything else. You're just more accustomed to it. You know where your bench is. You know where your locker room is. There's no getting on the bus. You're always at an advantage playing at home. And we're hoping that Brownstown looks ahead of us for that rematch versus Silver Creek, and we've got a chance to sneak up on them Tuesday. If that doesn't happen, you can look for a great rematch on Friday night. I believe Silver Creek is the best team, and like I said earlier, I believe Silver Creek has the most talent, and I believe the most talent wins when come tournament time. I think Silver Creek advances, and has a deep, deep run in the tournament, because those guys have played extremely well. They've gotten better over time. And I think Coach Hoffman, he's been there before, so it's an opportunity to survive and advance. But you can guarantee the other teams in the sectional, they are not going to go down without a fight. It's going to be a good battle every night.
Chad, any general thoughts on 2A at Crawford County or 1A at Borden, some local games, local teams there that could really develop into great matchups as the week goes on? I think that 1A championship game could be a good one. Christian Academy of Indiana, I think, likely will be there. It's a matter of who are they going to take on, who are they going to face. In the same way in 2A, we've got a couple favorites in Paoli and Crawford County, but I wouldn't count out some other teams like Henryville or maybe whoever comes out of that Clarksville-Providence game. Both of those teams have been winning late or have had some good performances, I should say, of late heading into the tournament, so we'll see.
Matt, with that 1A matchup, just want to say a quick thing. We played Christian Academy the other night. The job Coach Kerberg does at Christian Academy is unbelievable. You know, Steve was the freshman coach at Jeff. Jimmy just brought him in. He played for Ryan Davis at Graceland. Ryan Davis was an outstanding coach, but that's a whole other story. But when I got to Jeff as the boys' coach, I wanted Steve to stay with me. But his alma mater came calling, and he's left. You can't turn down that opportunity. He got to go home, and he's done an outstanding job. His team has all the pieces. They are well-coached, disciplined. They have size. They have quickness. Look for a deep, deep run from Christian Academy in the state tournament. As far as 2A goes, you hit the nail on the head. It's at Crawford County. I think Crawford County plays well at home. You got Paoli, who's really good. But the other 2A team around here who's going to look for a deep run in the state tournament is Southwestern Hanover. Jerry Baumholt put this one down. He was the Lou before Lou. You know, an outstanding coach, hard to play against. Watch them making a deep, deep run.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. Thanks for the chat. Sectional week is here. IU Wisconsin tomorrow night. Plenty of to talk about this week. I'll be back with you on Tuesday, 11 o'clock. We'll continue our discussion right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.